If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
We are 1, 2, 3, 4.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to West by Pod, a podcast about WVU football, the Big 12 Conference, and pepperoni rolls. I'm Joel Bracken at WV Stats Guy. I'm joined as always by Game Day Shorts, Mr. Game Day Shorts. It's Jordan Pinto. Very special episode. We have finished, well, I guess this is sort of the conclusion of our summer deep dive series. We did all the opponents. Might as well do the team, the Mountaineers themselves. We're going to dive in and talk about everything with the program going on. And yeah, just give sort of a state of things. Are you excited for this one, Jordan?
The fuck do you think? Cut me open right now. I bleed old gold and blue. I am fucking excited for this one.
Do you want to do a second Cincinnati pod, or would you like to talk the Mountaineers?
Nah, I'd prefer West Virginia for sure. I don't even, dude, I hardly even have notes for this one, man. We're just going from the heart.
Vibes. Know it. Vibes. It's etched in my soul.
That's right. Got my finger on the pulse. I don't need fucking notes, buddy.
Hell yeah. I love that. Okay. Well, then let's just dive in to your West Virginia Mountaineers 2024-25 national champion. West Virginia Mountaineers last season, a 9-4 campaign. And I think other than the Houston game, you don't really feel terrible about any of the games you lost. And you won a lot of games that, yeah, you're supposed to win a lot of them, but you got the job done, especially early in the conference schedule. I think we won a lot of games that were like coin toss games, like TCU, Texas Tech. You know, some of those you were could easily have lost and you pulled them out. Oklahoma State got away from us in the fourth quarter. But all in all, it adds up to 9-4, a great season, better than most expected. All you non-ball knowers out there were probably quite shocked to see the old Golden Blue 9-4. So, vibe around the program. I wrote down climb question mark. Are we climbing? Is this the climb? You know, what I liked is we won in a variety of ways last year, and we were fun to watch. And that kept me tuning in. I mean, I'm tuning in no matter what, but kept me excited, kept it fresh. And, you know, it's fun when you win games. That's just like a nice standard to be like, oh, yeah, we win more than we lose by a fair margin. We have a great quarterback coming back. We have a great running back coming back. We got a lot of other good pieces. It's fun to be good. I like it. Yeah. How are you feeling about the program, Jordan?
14 fucking who, baby? 14 who?
Picked last year.
Did we finish last? I don't think we did. I don't think we did.
Higher than last, I would say.
Higher than last. Better than last. Yeah. Man, you know, so like arguments both ways, right? Like it could have been maybe slightly better. It could have been maybe slightly worse. You look at some of the games. But I think keynotes here in terms of driving the vibes are the emergence of our Lord and Savior, Garrett Green, right? Garrett Green giving us an identity. Handful of young playmakers on both sides of the ball emerging, guys who will be making plays for years to come. The only thing more fun than having good players is having young good players, right?
Yep.
But yeah, you know, I think you kind of hit the nail on the head. The early season schedule, like if we're climbing, right? If we're climbing, like one of the things you have to learn how to do is win coin flip games. I mean, you look back at the Neil Brown era. And we didn't have good teams, but it felt like very often we were coming out on the wrong side of those games. We were making the losing plays. Last year, we learned how to make the winning plays. And that's a huge step for a team, especially when you have the level of continuity that we have. Because now you have, you know, 13, 14 starters and a handful, you know, probably 10, 15 more contributors, guys who got significant snaps last year who, when winning time comes, they know what the fuck they need to do. And that's huge just in terms of program building. It's huge in terms of kind of riding the momentum. We've talked on several pods about, you know, riding the wave, right? And it feels like this year is maybe the start of a crest, you know, maybe the start of a crest. We got a ton of dudes back, a lot of guys who are a lot of fun. Hopefully it's not too short of a crest. Hopefully we just keep this thing rolling. But yeah, man, I mean, it's following them like we do and, you know, reading the shit coming out of camp and the players that we have are fun. Like how many years did we say, dude, if you're going to be shitty, at least be fun. Last year we were good and fun. Like an amazing turn of events. Like, you know, I think we were hopeful that it would happen. Maybe not super confident, but it did. And it feels fucking good. You know, I mean, the joy of the climb is in the struggle, right? Like if you're not going to go through those shitty years, then going through the shitty years makes years like last year taste even better. And fuck, you know, I think, yeah, we're fucking climbing. We're climbing because, I think there's a chance this one could be even better.
So, yeah.
High vibes, man.
There's some pieces. And we'll get into the pieces. So just real quick, run through the other, preseason kind of stat stuff. Expectation this year, you're picked 7th in the conference out of 16 teams. Very much in the conversation and should be in contention. We'll talk about the schedule. That, you know, maybe doesn't help us, but we got a shot as much as a lot of other teams. I think we sort of maybe have said there's about 8 teams or so who we think could realistically at least have a shot going into November with this thing. Your returning production, you're 31st, so you're in the top quarter of the country. 22nd in beta rank offense last year. We were fun to watch on offense, which is a welcome thing after the last handful of years. 76th in beta rank defense, definitely room for improvement there. Our head coach is the real deal, Neil Brown. It's year 6. It's hard to believe that he's been around that long, but I try to think about being at the very first game Neil coached against, was it James Madison? I think it was James Madison. But it was FCS school, and you know, we squeak out a win. The offensive line was in shambles. We had a lot of pieces that you look at this team now and it's like, what are we good at? Offensive line's good. We have exciting, explosive players all over the field. It's quite the roster.
Quarterback yeah. We recruited in high school. How long the entire Dana tenure we were bitching because it was all JUCO guys, right? We got a quarterback recruited in high school. I mean, continue. Sorry.
No, you're right. I mean, like those sort of things are some of the changes that, you know, where you in year 6, there's no denying anymore that this is Neil Brown's program. So you can grade it and, you know, assess it as such. But that is one of the changes. Getting exciting quarterbacks, and we've had exciting quarterback prospects, you know, continue to kind of flow through. Your offensive coordinator is Chad Scott. It's his second year as OC. Jordan Leslie is your DC. It's his fourth year as DC. We mentioned it on pods in the past. Neil's going to ride with his guys. And if the ship goes down, they're going to still probably be on it. And that's, I think we've kind of come to terms with that's how it's going to be. And you know what? These guys found a way to win a lot of games last year. So, you know, I mentioned it a couple pods ago, but I really think Neil has like exuded some confidence and some, like, we've been here before. All of a sudden you sort of look around. He's a little bit of a veteran coach. He's coached a power conference school for 6 years, or this will be his 6th year. You know, that's a lot of valuable experience knowing about the community of West Virginia and Morgantown. And, yeah, he's been around. He knows what he wants to be doing in fall camp and, you know, what he needs to be thinking about in position groups and with position coaches. And, you know, I feel like there's a little more calm with him this year, just in terms of, hey, I think we got this. I think we know what we're doing now, and we're going to give it our best shot. And I think our best shot's going to be pretty good. So that's sort of how I'm feeling about the coaching staff.
Yeah, man, he's a huge preparation guy. How many times have we told him that football, or have we heard him say that football is a preparation sport? You get 12 games, and the rest of it is fucking practice, and that's just what it is. And it feels like he has his feet under him. This is his program now. And yeah, I love the coaching staff. Like, when's the last time? I guess we hired Victor Cabral from App State, but, like, I mean, you're hard pressed to find many external hires, right? And I think that's the strength of his coaching staff: cohesion, continuity. You know, we're the dudes playing the violins at the end of the Titanic, right? Like, we're going down. It's been a fucking pleasure one way or the other. We are who we are. Deal with it. And I wouldn't have it any other way, man. I have always probably trusted the climb and like Neil Brown more than most. Going back to his first interview, man, I will never forget. I lived in Charlotte, and I'm listening to his first interview in the car with my wife, and she's like, dude, he sounds like the Friday Night Lights guy. And I was like, goddamn right, man. Like, clear eyes, cool heart, can't lose. And, you know, I've kind of stayed the course. Like, I think even when a lot of people wanted him out, I was probably one of the last hangers on of, no, he needs time. Just because I thought, like, even the first 4 years when things weren't going well, when the results weren't going well, A+ off the field, right? A+, yeah. A+ from Sunday to Thursday, Sunday to Friday. And last year he finally upped it and started getting some results. So I'm all in on the coaching staff. Love all of them. Love hearing from them. All that stuff. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think we both have been a little more on the Neil Brown side of things than most. I know we had at least one pod that was a little bit of a, like, oh, shit, is this the end? I don't think we wanted it to be. And, you know, we survived the bump.
22,
I remember. Yeah. Yeah, we survived the bumps in the road, and here we are. And you know, there's no denying West Virginia is not as easy as program as Ohio State or Alabama. I mean, they all come with their own. I'm up here in Columbus, and if you only win 11 or 12 games, you're on the hot seat. But
crazy, isn't it?
It's crazy, dude. The amount of people up here who are like, Ryan Day got to go. He ain't a winner. It's like, he has lost 4 games ever, but that's a whole nother topic. It's another world. So let's get into the players who are playing for your Mountaineers. There's this guy, he's going to start quarterback. His name is Garrett Green. Do you have much on him?
I mean, what can you say about Garrett that hasn't also at one point been said about Jesus, you know? I mean, the guy regularly performed miracles last year, the Houston game, even though we lost, Baylor, countless sack escapes. You know, the Bible verse is escaping me, but I think it goes something like, if Garrett Green art with me, who can possibly be against me? Dude, I've been pushing for this guy to get playing time on record, you know, sure, since he was a redshirt freshman. I've loved him since we signed him. He was the first signee of the Neil Brown era, I think. I think he was a Troy recruit. Neil told him, hey, if I go to another school, your offer stands. Followed him to West Virginia. And hopefully he's changed the trajectory of the Neil Brown era and hopefully of our program. Hopefully we're back on the rise. You know, I think on the field, obviously a dog. I think I play that clip of him talking shit to the like four TCU defenders probably once a week, and just spikes my blood pressure a little bit. He does what he does as well as anybody in America, right? I mean, he was an elite runner at the position last year. I think, elite big play generation, all that stuff's been talked about all summer. Seeing all the clips, over 10% big time throw rate, really good ADOT. I think his overall PFF grade was in the top 10. I want to say it was like 6th or 7th among all FBS quarterbacks. So, the numbers don't lie. This guy was as productive as anybody in the country. For the type of player that he is, I think my note is he's unquestionably one of the most dangerous quarterbacks in the country. And if he improves that short to intermediate passing game at all, then he's legit one of the best quarterbacks full stop in the country. So, there's not a single dude playing college football right now who I would rather have as our quarterback.
I think he strikes a lot of fear if you are rooting for the other team, because if he, A, cocks it back for a throw down field, or B, is in open field, open space, you're terrified. Whereas a lot of quarterbacks, and some of the ones we've talked about through this series, neither of those are true. You don't like feel the fear. I think the only weakness in his game is kind of that short to intermediate pass accuracy. And I know that's something he's been taking seriously. And, he's seen clips of him at the Manning camps and all this stuff. Like, I think he's a really hard worker. I think we've had quarterbacks come through West Virginia that some people have not given like the respect and the applause that they should have. And I'm talking about people like Skylar Howard. And I'm even talking to people about like Jared Deggie. You're the guy who is our quarterback, and you got to ride with your guy. I don't think you can ask any more of this guy. Dude's tough. Dude's a team player. The quarterback room vibes are insane with him and Nico. I think they're just like best friends, even though only one of them gets to take the snaps at a time. I mean, and yeah, I will mention Nico. Nico got thrown into the pit game last year. Not supposed to be playing. He gets thrown out there. He also has to start versus Texas Tech. He wins both of those games. I mean, you have a backup who has won games. I think that's valuable as well. So, all in all, love the quarterback room. Garrett Green, dude, I mean, if he takes another decent step up, he's 100% like a Heisman candidate,
Yeah.
I think the step he took from the year prior to last year was pretty large. And, if he takes another step, not even that big, he's already going to be in the conversation as a top quarterback in the country, top quarterback in the league. He's right there, man. I mean, this is the best quarterback situation we've had since Will Greer. And, you could even argue if it's better or worse, whatever, like just quarterback position. It's pretty incredible.
And the thing he has to improve, like he does the hard shit, right? Like that's what makes you confident that he can take that step. You said hard ass worker. I mean, how long, it's felt like he spent several weeks with his quarterback coach down in the South, like literally just working on his footwork, because it seems like that was probably what the problem was with the short stuff. And like literally completing short throws is the easiest thing that a quarterback can do, right? Yep. So he does all the hard stuff. He's put in the time. And yeah, man, I mean, yeah. I mean, that list came out from PFF, listed him as one of the top 10 Heisman candidates. One of the few publications that seems to give him his due, PFF. But yeah, I mean, I already said there's nobody else I'd rather have as our quarterback. So
all I think about too is he's such a different quarterback than stepping out on the field the first snap last year at Penn State.
Yeah,
I think a very different quarterback, and I don't think he's scared of anybody. Just his vibe. I mean, like first game of the season, Happy Valley. Not the ideal scenario for any quarterback, but I don't think he's going to be afraid starting this season. I think he's going to be ready to go. Quarterback room, vibes immaculate. Running back room, I'm going to say vibes immaculate. I love the vibes in the running back room. We got Jaheim White, who really stole the show at the end of last year. He had a 91.1 PFF grade. Garrett Green had a 90.8 PFF grade. If you know anything about PFF, that's pretty high. I mean, that is right up there. You usually don't see guys over like 93, 94 in any position. So insanely high quarterback running back combo. Jaheim really blew under the scene and then has the memorable touchdown to sort of cap off the regular season last night or last year. And then you also got this guy, CJ Donaldson, who, you know, blew out on the scene as a freshman. And I don't know, maybe people might say he had a disappointing sophomore slump kind of year last year. He had multiple 100-yard rushing games. He was there. Like, he, you know, I think this 1-2 punch backfield is, I really like it.
Yeah, you know, I think we said on the UCF pod, right? Like, you know, their backfield's very good. I'd put ours right up there with them as best in the conference. You know, I think the most notable thing about the running back room this offseason, Jaheim White making the change from the 22 to the number one. Guys, Don and the Tavon coming into this year.
Scary.
Could be scary. I love it. Sexy. Looks fantastic on him. I saw the pictures come out with him wearing it, I want to say either earlier this week or last week. But yeah, insane production. Both of those guys had 800-ish yards. CJ, I think he had double-digit touchdowns too, right? You know, and I think I would agree. Like, I'm probably one of the dudes who think that, I don't know if I would say disappointing, but kind of like a ho-hum, right? Yeah. Like, you know, it wasn't bad, but it wasn't great, like, after what he was as a freshman. But yeah, I wish I could go back in time and trademark Thunder and Lightning for this backfield, because just perfectly complementary skill sets. Jaheim's going to probably be our starter and get a lot of snaps. But CJ should be outstanding as a change of pace and as a short yardage guy. But I feel like he has more to offer than that. You know, he has his tight end background. He can catch the ball out of the backfield. I don't see any reason why we can't play both of these guys at the same time. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe not with a ton of regularity, but, you know, 10 times a game, throw them both out there at the same time and just see what defenses do, you know, just give them something to think about. And then I think going beyond that, man, you know, Jalen Anderson, we felt really good about him coming into last year, and he just couldn't get out of his own way. I still, you know, I had super high hopes for him last year before CJ or Jaheim broke out. So, you know, hopefully a little revenge season coming for Jalen Anderson. We have two freshmen who are apparently kind of pushing Jalen for that running back three spot. So, you know, I mean, running back, like, I couldn't feel better about the running back room. You have every kind of skill set you'd want. You can run wide. You can put people in space. You can run up the middle. You got a big bruiser. You got a dude behind them who can kind of do a little bit of both. Like, I don't think you could ask for a better combination in the background, and the production's been there, the talent's there. Seems like all of them, like you said with the quarterback, like only one of them get the ball, but it seems like they're all rooting for each other. So,
yeah, and you got a quarterback who can run with the thing too. I mean, I think that if you count Garrett in there, Garrett had 699 yards, so 700 yards, and CJ and Jaheim both were right at 800. So, yep. Yeah, I mean, if I was playing NCAA, I'm going split backfield, triple option with these guys several times a game, because you want to tackle we've talked about it before, but you want to tackle CJ the first half, and then you want to try to keep up with Jaheim the second half. I mean, it's a nice combo. And same with Garrett. I mean, slippery, great open field runner. So running game looking really good. I mean, it was really good last year. I think we were one of the – I think we might have been the highest power four school in rushing yards on the season.
Per game. And then I think we were like eighth in beta rank – or sorry, we were fourth in beta rank, yeah. So we were – yeah. The standard stats loved us, traditional stats loved us, and advanced metrics loved the running game last year. So, yeah.
So we're going to be able to probably run the ball.
Dangerous. Yes. Yeah.
Explosive, dangerous, and, you know, CJ's a hard guy to tackle. So I like the sort of, you know, off speed between the two of them. Talking about the pass catchers, you know, Devin Carter was your top target guy last year. He's gone. Your projected starters are Hudson Clement, Preston Fox, and Jaden Bray. If you're not familiar, a transfer from Oklahoma State. And then also Cole Taylor. He's your top target returning guy. So he was actually our second highest number of targets last year. I think was like a really fun wrinkle in the passing game. So, you know, I think if you're listening to this pod, you're probably more familiar with the actual names and the depth chart than a lot of some of the teams we've talked about. So other guys, I'm not even, I have not mentioned Treylon Ray. You know, he was up there. I think he was like our fourth leading target guy last year. He's going to probably be a factor. Rodney Gallagher, I think has room to grow and is a very exciting player. So I don't know. Who are you excited about in the receiving room?
I mean, is there a better collection of young talent in America anywhere? Tell me. I'm asking.
Anywhere. Okay.
No, I'm kidding. There probably is. But yeah, no, I think it's another thing. You know, I think the detractors will point that, you know, none of these guys had like a ton of production. Like, I don't know, did we have? We had Devin Carter was our only receiver who went over 500 yards.
Yep.
Hudson Clement got close, but, you know, again, the naysayers would say, nay, all those yards came against Duquesne. But, you know, I think the thing to consider here is that you have a lot of options who can do a lot of different things, and they're not going to be relied on as like the primary thing this offense does, right? This offense is still going to probably run the ball 60% of the time. And so these guys are going to be facing, well, usually we say like a light box, like a light back end, like a light secondary, right? Like defenses are going to have dudes committed to stop the run. And you know, I think last year these guys showed that they could get open in those scenarios. Like when we had the running game open, the passing game worked great. I think the challenge this year for the group is going to be, okay, like can we kind of count on you when we need to move the ball down the field, 2 minute situations, end of game situations. They showed that they could do it a little bit. You know, I think against Houston, against Baylor, like we moved the ball down the field. TCU, I think even we kind of opened it up in the second half and passed on them a little bit. And then, yeah, you had a couple nice pieces with Bray, who I'm super high on. Like the propaganda coming out of fall camp has been insane. This dude scores 37 touchdowns a day. You know, I don't know if that's maybe a negative to our defensive backs. I'm not going to see it like that. I'm going to see it as he's the dude who I thought he was. I thought he was going to come in and be like, you know, a primary guy, like maybe what we thought Devin Carter was, but Devin Carter never quite got there. You add Justin Robinson, huge body from Mississippi State, who had two productive years at Mississippi State, come in, be a red zone threat. You add Greg Jenross, number one JUCO tight end, who you can maybe throw out there at the same time as Cole Taylor. I guess we'll see. And then you have two freshmen, man. Our highest rated recruit, Day-Day Farmer, four-star receiver, electric with the ball in his hands. It sounds like he's pushing for playing time in the slot. And Brandon Raymond, dude from St. Joe's Prep. I think he went to the same high school as Josiah Trotter, which is, you know, a football factory kind of a school, has come in and he's pushing for playing time. So there's no shortage of options. It'll be, you know, I think if Bray kind of emerges as a primary guy, everything else fits in really, 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 really well. Sounds like Hudson Clement has had a fantastic offseason. Sounds like Preston Fox is Garrett Green's favorite target. Like, yeah. If you read everything about the dudes, you know, the guys who get to go watch practice, everything that they write is Preston Fox makes every play. And, you know, it doesn't necessarily shock me, right? Because how many fucking huge plays did he make last year? You know, he wasn't necessarily our primary target. He wasn't a high volume guy, but like, he made a ton of huge plays. So, you know,
his body out there too.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%, man. And yeah. So, you know, there are probably better collections of young talent in America among pass catchers, but I really like our mix, man. Having that tight end angle is really important. And then you have guys on the outside and in the slot who have all shown that they can get open and do things with the ball and they get it. So, yeah, as a complimentary piece to our running game, I think I'm down with our receivers for sure.
Yeah, and, you know, got youth in there. Hudson Clement, I mean, he was a freshman last year. Preston Fox will be a junior this year. You know, Treylon Ray, Rodney Gallagher, both sophomores this year. So, yeah, it's kind of a youthful room. But, you know, we've seen a little bit from several of the guys, so excited to see what progress we had over the offseason. Looking at the offensive line, Last year, we really played seven guys. Seven guys got into rotation. We lost two of them. So we lost Zach Frazier. We lost Doug Nester. And the other five, that's going to be your starting five guys. So Brandon Yates, Wyatt Milam, Thomas Remick, Brandon Yates, Jaquay Hubbard, Nick Malone is going to be your starting five guys. Do you know much about sort of the two deep, like what other guys are going to likely get into rotation? I assume Weedman will probably get in there. I think he got some snaps last year, right?
Yeah, so I think he'll be in the mix. I think Landon Livingston sounds like he'll be in the mix. Xavier Bosley, transfer from Jacksonville State. I expect him to push Nick Malone for that starting right tackle spot. I think we've heard good things about Johnny Williams, Bryce Biggs, Nick Crahey, true freshman, apparently is a really good. I think Matt Moore was very criticized for the first couple years that he was on campus. Ended up building one of the best offensive lines in America last year. So I'm gonna trust his evaluation. He says we have 10 guys that he feels comfortable with. Not a mathematician, but that seems like it should be the entire two deep. It doesn't feel like we have any position where if a guy goes down or if a guy has to miss a series that we can't throw somebody out there and feel okay about it. We had to do that a lot last year. I think as unfortunate as that was at times, it's going to serve us well in the future, right? Like it's the kind of thing like we talked about with Penn State, like even their starters didn't have a ton of snaps, but like, that's how they're able to reload, is that you have 25 guys who get 200 snaps and then you graduate eight of them. The other 17 are ready to fucking roll. I think when I'm thinking about this offensive line, losing Zach Frazier is probably unreplaceable just from a ceiling perspective. I mean, the guy's going to start for the Steelers. He's been the Steelers' best offensive lineman. I don't know if you've been paying attention to the preseason, but he hasn't allowed a pressure yet in the preseason. On like 60 some snaps. So, I don't know if Yates is going to step in there and be Zach Frazier, but if you're going from a top five offensive line or top 10 offensive line to like a top 25 offensive line, I don't know if that's going to kill us. And I do think that this group still kind of has that level of play in them. You have Milam, who, I don't know if he was first team. Was he first team all conference? Was he our only guy?
He's our only guy. Yep.
He's our only guy. Yeah. So, you have a stalwart left tackle, which, hey, protect your quarterback's blind side, probably the most important position on the offensive line aside from the center. Rematch was probably our second best offensive lineman or third best offensive lineman behind Frazier and Milam. So left side seems like it's going to be rock solid. Yates and Hubbard have been contributors for 4 years, right? So they're finally starting. It's not like these are new guys that were rolling in there. And then Nick Malone has played every position on the offensive line. You got him at right tackle, and you have a dude who was a freshman All-American at Jacksonville State last year backing him up. So like, I don't know how you can, like, maybe it's not quite as good as last year, but I don't know how you can feel bad about this offensive line at all. I think they're going to be good again.
Yeah. Last year, third in pass block in the league, sixth in run block. You mentioned Frazier's gone. I mean, that's a massive loss. There's no way to get around that. But you still have another guy who's all conference, Wyatt Milam. And I just like that these are all guys that have played with each other. And pretty much all of them have played like multiple years together and been in rotation. So, I don't know. I'm kind of liking how the offense is shaping up. Love a quarterback, love our running backs. I think the receivers are going to do their job, and the O-line is looking solid. I think we're going to be fine on offense.
Right, like high-level offensive line, maybe a shade worse. Every other position, better. Because it's all the same dudes. And you look, we were what, 22nd beta rank last year? Would not be shocked to see that climb into the top 20, top 15 this year. I think this has every chance to be one of the best offenses in the league and one of the better offenses in the country.
Yep, I totally agree. So let's talk defense now. Last year, 76 in beta rank defense. Let's start on the D line. So I think the guy you start with here is Sean Martin. He's our leading pressures guy from last year. He's going to be returning. Your other guys down on the line for Torma Molba and Vesterinen, those are going to be that's going to be our line. How do you feel like that shapes up, like, compared to the conference? You feel like we're going to be solid on the D line, going to be able to generate pressures?
Above average for sure in the front three. Like, I like all three of those guys. Martin, I would say Martin kind of had a little bit of a disappointing year last year. You know, I think he kind of broke out in 2022 and then was okay last year. Didn't really kind of take the next step the way you would expect him to. This is his last year, right? It's make or break contract year, right? So, you know, expect a big performance out of him. Molba was kind of a rotational piece with Lockwood. I think they came pretty close to splitting snaps, or Mike Lockhart. But Molba was by far the better performer. I mean, you look at his PFF, he's one of our highest graded returners on PFF. I want to say it was like a 77 or a 78.
Yep.
Dude just chews up blocks, is insanely strong. You know, he's a walking double team, which is what you want in the middle of your defense. And then Eddie V, you know, I don't think there's a super high ceiling there, but in terms of just like a quality Big 12 starter who's going to go out and put a fucking shift in, you know, get to borrow a soccer term, Eddie V gets stuck in, dude, right? Like, I mean, this guy is going to go out there and he may not wreck the other team's game, but he is going to be a fucking pain in the ass to play against. Dude plays through the whistle, plays hard, gives you a ton of snaps, all that kind of stuff. You know, I think you look at the depth. Asani Redwood is kind of a guy who we've been waiting on. You know, I want to say as a true freshman, he was coming in. Neil, the fall before his true freshman season, said he gave him Akeem Mezidor vibes. And then, you know, I think when he's been on the field, that's kind of what we've seen. It's just he's been a dude who's been hurt each of his first two seasons. Seems like he's healthy coming into this season. So hopefully it stays that way, man. You know, just a guy where if he can stay healthy, I think he's going to give us good production. Hammond Russell, another guy we've been waiting on. Redshirt junior now, fourth year in the program. You're looking at him as the backup nose tackle. Don't hate it. And then, yeah, backup defensive end behind Sean Martin is an FCS All-American G5 player, TJ Jackson from Troy, dude who is a very, very, very productive player, all Sun Belt for, I think, multiple years. So, love that pool. I'm trying to, you know, Torres Simmons, I think he's listed, it looks like he's listed a defensive end on our lads. Apparently, he's made the transition to spear. So I think he gives us a third body at spear. But, you know, I think you look at that top six, and yeah, I think it's probably in the middle of the pack from the teams we've reviewed. You know, I don't think it's the best group, but I certainly don't think it's the worst. You know, I'd say it's an above-average group in the conference. Certainly all very physical, which was our identity last year, and we're going to fucking need them to do that again this year. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I think concern coming in was depth. It seems like we have six. Hopefully we have as many as eight that we can kind of roll in there. I think that was kind of our big thing last year. It was, you know, we had 8 or 9 guys that we could kind of just roll in. So, you know, maybe looking for 1 or 2 more guys to step up. But in terms of the top six, I don't feel bad about it at all.
Yeah, I think the D-line's going to be fine. Yeah, and maybe we see like the reemergence of Sean Martin, maybe get back to the form we saw the year previously. So yeah, I mean, I think we got some guys on the D line. Moving sort of to the second level, so we have the spur position. Tyron Bradley is going to be starting there. Josiah Trotter, the freshman, starting at linebacker, and then Trey Lathan. I think also important to mention Ben Cutter and the linebacking. I'm sure he's going to be getting a lot of snaps. What is the report on Trotter? Obviously some family pedigree, but what is the buzz coming out with Trotter?
Yeah, I think I couldn't tell you which pod it was, but one of our last few pods told you that he had an interview, and For a 19-year-old, it was just insane. The maturity, you know, it just seems like a put-together young man. said, I think I said a 36-year-old, I'd follow that guy into battle for sure. But yeah, the football pedigree, obviously an NFL dad, his brother's going to go to the NFL here soon. So there's something that comes with that. Went to St. Joe's Prep, which is, as I mentioned with Brandon Raymond, a football factory. I think he's going to come in and take the reins. He was going to play last year. There's no doubt about it. He got hurt in the spring and what ultimately wasn't able to participate, but fully healthy this year. Love him in the middle of the defense. You know, I think Jordan Leslie kind of had the quote of, you know, there's not anything that he's not good at. Mm-hmm. You know, I think he called him a total package. Would not be surprised if he gets a little green sticker on his helmet as a redshirt freshman, as the guy who is communicating with the sideline, calling the plays, all that kind of stuff. Trey Lathan was probably our best defensive player last year, prior to getting hurt against TCU. You know, I think, particularly as a pass rusher and as a coverage guy, kind of gave us a wrinkle that nobody else on the team did. You know, I think Lee Kogba, Cutter, Beiser, like the other dudes who are getting reps at linebacker, none of them could really do the things that Lathan does just with the level of athlete that he is. He got hurt, but he's also fully healthy. So you're looking at those as your two. You mentioned Ben Cutter. Reed Carrico coming in from Ohio State. Didn't play a ton at Ohio State, but, you know, I think as we've mentioned with some of these, like there are Ohio State, there are Ohio State transfers kind of sprinkled around the Big 12.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not, I don't necessarily see it as a knock that you're not able to, because you're competing against dudes who are inevitably going to the NFL and getting drafted. Yeah. He was a 96 rated 4-star coming out of high school, which would have been, I mean, probably is our highest rated linebacker recruit of all time. So, you know, I think you're, and then Caden Beiser, limited, but will hit the shit out of you. You know, makes plays when he's out there, makes tackles. I think you're looking at this linebacker room. It's probably as deep as it's been since Neil's been here. We mentioned the spur. Tyron Bradley is probably going to be the starter there. You know, I think he really came on towards the end of last season and was pretty productive and pretty disruptive. Obviously, he made the amazing play in the bowl game. So we'll be looking for him to kind of take the next step. And then backup, you know, all we have as a backup there is a multiple-time FCS All-American, Ty French, who has, you know, 1,000 pressures and graded out in the 80s pretty much every year that he was at Gardner-Webb. So, you know, I guess we'll see what the ceiling is. The ceiling is going to depend on Lathan and Trotter, because I think those are your two most talented guys by far. That's why they're starting. But depth-wise, like, you know, love the options that we have here. I think we can roll out 7-8 guys across those three positions and feel pretty good about it.
Yeah, I agree with the depth thing, where it's, it does feel like we have some depth that we have not had in recent years in some of these, like in the linebacking core. Like, Ben Cutter, I feel like we talked about him a lot on the pod last year. Like, he's not even a projected starter is kind of surprising to me, but yeah, so...
He got picked on a little bit in coverage last year. I think that really impacted his PFF grade. Really low coverage grade, but, you know, see ball, get ball. Like, he was good at that. You know, I feel like I'd kind of look at him as, you know, kind of like a Lee Kogba, or like Lee Kogba's his spirit animal, right? Like, where he's going to come downhill and he's going to hit you. You're not going to break his tackle, but get him going side to side or get him going backwards. Maybe he'll struggle a little bit, but I mean, mm-hmm. Shit, as your third or fourth linebacker, you know, who do we think we are a little bit there? But yeah, no, overall feel really good about the linebackers. I think there's potential for this to be a really good room.
All right. So let's go to the secondary now. So in the secondary, you lose Beanie Bishop. Beanie Bishop, I think, was pretty special last year. He was our top snaps guy on defense. He was one of our highest graded guys. He was at almost a 76 PFF grade. So I think that's a you know, important loss. Aubrey Burks, he's coming back. He was right there with Mulba, you mentioned. They were kind of our two highest PFF grade guys who were in the game often. He was at a 77.5. And then, you know, one guy I want to highlight, a new addition in here, both of our corners, it looks like our starting corners are going to be transfers. Aiden Garnes, coming from Duquesne, huge jump from his first year in rotation. Last year, he had an 87.4 PFF grade. So taking the large step up from Duquesne to WVU, but really productive at his level last year. And then your other transfer, who also is looking like a starter at corner, Garnett Hollis Jr. And he is coming from Northwestern. He's one of those better every year kind of guys. Last year, getting up into the 70s PFF grade. So that's sort of your new faces on the defense. And then other than Jaden Bray, the receiver, those are kind of your three projected starters who are transfers. So, you know, the other 19 projected starters are dudes from the program.
Yeah, I think we can feel confident about Hollis, man. You know, I think you mentioned it, better every year guy. And was at Northwestern, right? Which, not a great team last year, but was a good player on that team. Got up in the 70s. You know, I think we can expect him to be a quality starter. And then, you know, the confidence about Garnes. Obviously, we played Duquesne last year. He didn't allow a catch. You know, we mentioned, obviously, Hudson Clement had the breakout game. Garrett Green threw for about 300 yards in that game. None of it was on Garnes, and that was pretty consistent across the season. Like he was really, really good. All of the word out of camp this year is that he just does not make bad plays. You know, like Neil Brown, Chad Scott, Jordan Leslie, all of them have kind of said, like, he's just a guy who kind of stacks good plays on good plays on good plays. Not a dude who gets out of position, not a dude who gets beat with any sort of regularity. And so, I mean, I'm going to choose to believe that he's going to be a quality starter as well. So, you know, maybe you don't have a consensus All-American in this group, but if you have two quality starters at corner, Aubrey Burks moving to Spear. So a little bit closer to the line of scrimmage where he can maybe be a little bit more disruptive, obviously spent his last couple years at free safety, where he was good, but you know, I think he has a skill set in the open field, has a skill set as a blitzer that we weren't really able to leverage just because of the way that we had to play him. So hopefully, you know, the position change unlocks that a little bit. Anthony Wilson, probably going to move to the free safety, which, you know, okay, seems like it should be all right. Also have another Northwestern transfer, Jaheim Joseph, on the two deep, who probably, I would say he and Wilson are probably going to end up being the starters at the free and the cat. And Wilson was, you know, I don't think he was a full-time starter. He was more of a package guy, but played pretty well when he was in there, which is fine. You know, looking at the rest of this group, you know, I think notable, Zay Jennings, dude who there was a ton of buzz about in the spring. There's been some buzz about him in the fall. Going to be the backup at the Spear. And then I think at corner, TJ Crandall, Colorado, another Colorado State guy, but a guy who played really well as a freshman last year. And then finally, KK Tarnu. I gather that KK is easier to say than Kekora, which makes sense to me. I'm kind of looking at him as this year, you know, I think body type and just like what I've seen of him and like the way he moves and the way he plays, kind of a Hershey McLaurin type. Obviously we lost Hershey. Hershey's down in Houston now, which I hated because I was a huge Hershey fan. I could see myself being a huge KK Tarnu fan. You know, kind of as a dude who can probably play two or three different positions, is going to be athletic, is going to hit, is going to tackle kind of thing. You know, and I think the one guy in the rotation who has been here, who we really haven't talked about, Jacoby Spells, dude flashed as a freshman, didn't play a ton last year, for one reason or another. I think he looked a little bit lost at times, but, got hurt in the spring and then has gotten healthy, it seems like, and has been mentioned frequently, this fall. So, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, there's some new faces here. Burks and Wilson obviously are the two holdovers. I think we can feel good about Hollis. I think we feel good about Garnes. And then You know, I guess we'll see with the rest. Like, I don't know about the depth. Like, it's not a sure thing. Like, there's some question marks in the secondary. Obviously, when you have, what do we have, six? Yeah, six of the 10 secondary spots are transfers. Like, there's going to, or transfers or freshmen, sorry. There's going to be some question marks, but, you know, there's a lot of talent there. Like, it's not dudes who, some of these other programs, we've talked about guys who are, like, high pedigree guys who, you know, they just needed a shot, but we haven't ever seen them do anything. Like, all of these guys have played at their previous spots and have performed well, right? So there's at least some history of high performance with all of them. Whether it translates to this level, I guess we'll see, but, you know, I bleed gold and blue, so I'm choosing to believe.
We're here, yeah. I think, I don't know. I walk through our roster, and obviously we know a little bit more about these players and their stories and all that than some of the teams that we dive into, but I kind of walk through our team, and I feel good. I feel like I think we're going to have a shot. I think the offense is going to hum. I think the defense seems like it has a lot of pieces and hopefully can be a little better than, you know, in the 70s beta rank defense like they were last year. And yeah, I don't know. I see like 16 wins, conference championship, national championship. It's there, you know.
I ain't gonna argue with you. realistically, like, you're looking at our roster. I mean, who is of the teams we've reviewed, who would you put in the same category? Because I agree, I feel really good about this on paper. Obviously, we know a lot about them, and we've seen a lot of it on the field as well. So it's not even just like it's on paper, but I feel really good about our roster. Who else that we've reviewed would you put like at the same level or higher than us?
Okay, so let me think back. I mean, obviously Penn State. I think Penn State's probably the best team on our schedule this year. And, you know, we buried the lead a little bit, I think, but the schedule's tough. I think our schedule, our conference schedule is, you know, first of all, we're playing two Power 5, Power 4, out of conference games, and then the opening of your schedule here in conference is rough. It's Kansas, Oklahoma State, Iowa State, Kansas State, Arizona. Those are all teams that are like preseason, like right there with us in conference. I mean, it's like a cluster in the top half. So, I think that's going to be challenging. I don't know. I think UCF has the offensive, maybe one of the more scary offenses that we've profiled. And then I don't know. I don't know what our like true comp would be though of teams that we're going to play.
I guess my point there was that, yeah, UCF, maybe Kansas State, Penn State. But like, I would say I like us more than everybody else that we've looked at. You know, I like us more than Iowa State. I like us more than Kansas.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, I get where we were picked. You know, we're not getting a ton of respect, which.
We picked 14th last year.
Picked 14th last year, picked 7th this year. You know, we lost a lot of goodwill in the first 4 years of the Neil Brown era, which I get. But I guess I was just asking the question as a way of saying I really like this roster in comparison to the other stuff that we're seeing around the conference. And especially because, like you said, I mean, our schedule, we have a lot of the best teams in the conference on our schedule. And I like our roster as much or more than a lot of them. So,
yeah. All right, let's hit the climb index. Let's start with cohesion. And I'm giving it a 4. I think quarterback, running back room, pretty much all your receiver room, pretty much all your O-line at least are here and have been here. You know, a couple places on the D, like getting two transfer corners in who are likely to start. But like otherwise, very cohesive group. I think as good as you can really expect. I'd say 4 and maybe even 4.5.
Yeah, I gave it a 5 out of 5. You know, you got the most electric backfield in America, potentially an All-American tight end, some young studs at receiver, ton of experience in both trenches, some young studs at linebacker, top 10 safety in the country. 5 out of 5.
And the coaches. Coaches back too.
And the
too,
coaches. So, coach, yeah. A coaching boost, yes.
All right, losses. I went 2.5. You lose a guy to the NFL who's going to start. I mean, that's a significant loss. You lose Beanie Bishop, Lee Koba, Devin Carter. I gave it a 2.5, maybe 2.5 to 3.
Yeah, I gave it a 5 out of 5 because graduation or NFL doesn't count, and neither do the people who don't want to be here. So 5 out of 5.
Infusion. Who did we get in here? I went with a 3, and I said not a ton, but I do feel like there weren't glaring holes to fill other than maybe the cornerbacks. I think, you know, we went out and got another receiver who's going to hopefully make an impact. Yeah, I think you did fine here. Maybe above average. I went 3 out of 5.
So Joel's takes are the one to pay attention to, because I went 5 out of 5. I mean, you pull a quality third string quarterback and a third string tight end out of the portal. You got a nice backup tackle. A couple of stud receivers, some freshmen who were already threatening to break through, and then, you know, defensively a handful of high quality starters and rotational pieces. I mean, well, you know, 5 out of 5.
I like it. I think it's great. All right, the menu. Who do we play? And I'm going to be honest here. I gave it a 1.5 because I think it's a challenging schedule. I think we're good, and I think we're good enough to win a lot of these games. But I think the 5 games, I think your first 8 games, or sorry, yeah, your first 8 games, let's throw out the FCS game. So let's just say your first 7 real games, all against power schools. Penn State is maybe one of the hardest games to open the season with. And then your first 5 conference games are like, they're rough. We're going to win most of them, I hope, but it's not easy. Like, you can't have a super bad week mixed in there. You're going to probably lose to some of these teams. I think we have, at least of the teams we've looked at, and I might as well just go check the rest of the conference at this point. I think we have like the hardest schedule in the conference.
Yeah, I gave it a 1 out of 5. We got fucked. This is by far the hardest schedule we've looked at. Yeah, Penn State. I mean, Pitt kind of sucks, but it's on the road and it's Pitt. So, you know, who knows? We should win by multiple touchdowns, but again, you know, who knows? And then, yeah, you mentioned that the first 5 games in the conference are, I mean, it's 5 of our 6 hardest games are in September and November.
Yeah, you got to hit the ground running.
I mean, yeah, looking at this, like, what is a successful, so coming out of Arizona, what is a quality record in your mind?
I mean, if you've got 5 wins through the first 8, I hope you finish the last. I mean, UCF would be the only other one I'm like kind of scared about. If you come out with 5 wins through Arizona, I'm hoping that you get to 9-3. 5-3 to 9-3. I mean, I think, yeah, I'd say 4.5 is the number, somewhere around there. I mean, of what you would like to get coming through Arizona through the first 8, you want to be 5 or north of that if you want to be, you know, in contention for the conference title.
Yeah, if you want November to be meaningful, you got to get 5. Hopefully 6. You know, yeah. I think I like our matchups. You know, I know those are tough teams, but like, if I'm just looking at matchups, I like the way we match up with Kansas. I like the way we match up with Arizona. So, you know, hopefully we win both of those games. Kansas State, I think, we kind of concluded their defense was probably a high floor but kind of a low ceiling thing. So hopefully that, you know, that's a game that you're competitive in, especially at home. So, yeah, you know, I mean, you lose to Penn State and maybe you lose to Oklahoma State on the road. If you can win the rest of those, that's an amazing start.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, Benefactor, do you have a corporate sponsor for the Mountaineers this year that fits?
So I did. I went with the lowest possible hanging fruit here. I said Tutors, because it knows what it is, it knows what it's not, and it tries to and frequently does excel at what it is. And we need to be Tutors this year. So, yeah.
Okay, Tudor's Biscuit World. I miss Tudor's, man. So good. I don't know who originated this joke of Garrett Green being the golden retriever, but I mean that with no.
It might have been Matt. It might have been the musket.
I think it might have been the smoking musket. So I think I think it did like come from some of the chats in there. But yeah, it's a compliment and a positive thing. And I'm going with Purina Pro Plan because they are the official sponsor of the Incredible Dog Challenge. And our golden retriever quarterback with the locks, Garrett Green, going all the way. Apparently, there's a TV show too on it, Incredible Dog Challenge. There's 9 seasons of this thing, so I don't know. That was my off the wall.
We got a full fucking team of dogs, baby. I love it.
Yeah,
I love it. Get the Purina into the practice facility over there. Get the nutritionist on it, dude. We'll be fucking steamrolling people.
Mm. All right. Any last words on the Mountaineers before our Penn State preview, our next pod?
Man, I really like this roster, and I really like this team. You know, from top to bottom. I think I said it. Like, love the coaching staff. Garrett Green, leader of the team. Like, I haven't liked a Mountaineer this much. Like, I hesitate to buy jerseys of people.
Yeah,
especially at the college level. It's just not something that you do. And then at the pro level, I feel like, you know, across football and soccer, I buy shirts and then the dude leaves the team. And, like, Garrett stuck it out with us. Like, I just say, like, if I would ever buy a jersey, it would be a Garrett Green jersey. Just because, like, I feel like this guy embodies what it is to be a Mountaineer. You know, he's a Florida kid, but he has fully embraced the state. I feel like he embodies the identity of the state. And the team's going to go as far as he takes it, man. And, you know, I think we talked about it. Hard schedule. We got fucked in the scheduling. We really did. We really did get fucked. But, like, I think this team can win a lot of games. I think this team can win a lot of games. We're not going to be an easy out for anybody, up to and including Penn State. I hope they're on notice. And I'm just looking forward to kicking shit off in, what is it, 10 days?
Yeah.
Today's Wednesday? 10 days. Yeah. 10 days, buddy. I'm going to be, man, are you coming?
I don't think I'm coming to Penn State. Oh, no, the noon game is kind of a tough one.
It is tough. I'm going to have to be, dude. My buddy texted me tonight, where I usually start my tailgate, and he's like, garage will be open at 5. So, we're going to be fucking Theoden and Aragorn and Helm's Deep. Ride out with me one last time. And let's beat fucking Penn State.
Dude, let's beat Penn State. I'm excited for our preview. I'm excited to get back into the regular weekly, get our Big 12 recap, pre-cap, all the good stuff. And yeah, I'm excited for this team. I hope we win a lot of games. It's going to be fun. It was fun last year, and I'm optimistic, excited, and ready to be hurt so much.
Ready to be hurt is a good way to say it.
I'm all of the things.
Cause I really like this team. I really like this team. I hope they pay it off on the field.
Yep. All right. So that is the end of our deep dive series 2024. We did it again. 12 episodes. All of the ball knowledge you need. And now you know about every team that we're gonna beat by at least 2 touchdowns. And the Mountaineers themselves. So make sure you tune in during the season. We're going to be doing our weekly recap. We'll do the Big 12 recap pre-cap, and then we will do the preview for the games each week. So get at us on smokingmusket.com. Follow us on Twitter to see when the pods get posted, or West by Pod with underscores, and get in the Smoking Musket Discord. That's where all the fun is going to be happening soon. So as always, thank you guys for listening. We will see you very soon as we kick off this new season.
See you all Sunday, boys. Let's go!
1, 2, 3, 4 New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hesse Low V2, and all New Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.